Let us give our attention now to God's written word as it comes to us in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. We'll be looking especially at one word from verse 22 this morning, the word joy, as we continue in our mini-series within our bigger series on Galatians, our mini-series on the Holy Spirit, and especially the fruit of the Spirit as they come to us here in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. So let's read those two verses this morning. Paul wrote, "Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, heaven-descended dove, and as we look into Your word, fill our hearts and kindle in us the fire of Your love. Direct and rule our hearts in all things. Empower us, gracious Spirit, for witness and ministry. And increase in us Your gifts and the fruit of joy. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The joy of bride and groom on their wedding day. Joy at the birth of a baby, the joy of a new home, a new job, or a body healed. Such joyful occasions are gifts from the God of joy. And because He is the God of joy, His children, those who know Him by faith, can even bear witness to a joy experienced in less joyful times. When a marriage is broken, when the home is foreclosed, when the job is lost, or the longed-for healing does not occur, the Christian can testify to a joy that comes unexpectedly often, surprisingly at times, even when circumstances are less than joyful. And the reason is because the Christian's joy is not ultimately rooted in the outward circumstances of life in this fallen world. Though the Christian's joy informs and enriches the joys of this temporal world, it is not ultimately rooted in the things of this temporal world. Instead, the Christian's joy comes ultimately from within, from the Holy Spirit, who dwells within the heart of each and every believer in Jesus Christ. We might say that Christian joy is ultimately a delight in God Himself. A delight in God Himself, His love, His grace, His promises, His presence. As Paul teaches us here in Galatians, true and lasting joy is the result of the presence and ministry of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. This morning, I want us to consider three specific ways we can keep in step with the Spirit and thus cultivate Spirit-produced joy in our lives. There are many ways, of course, that Scripture reveals, but three specific ways that we can cultivate Spirit-produced joy in our lives. First way to cultivate genuine joy in our lives is through confession of sin and assurance of pardon. Confession of sin. That doesn't sound very joyful. What are you talking about? Confession of sin. And sometimes it isn't joyful. Sometimes it's painful. But it is part of the pathway to true joy. That's why every week in our liturgy we include a confession of sin. As Dennis says, it's good for the soul. It's the right thing to do. And through it, we experience the joy of the living God. It is part of the way that true joy is cultivated corporately and individually in our lives. Without confession of sin, there is actually no deep down abiding joy in a person's life. We are full of that pride of which we read in the passage from Jeremiah, a pride that keeps us from experiencing the grace of God. In the Christian life, the way up is down. The way to joy and exaltation is through humble repentance and confession of sin. Coming clean with God is required in order to experience God's joy. It is a prerequisite. It's like, you know, you've got to take Algebra 1 before Algebra 2 to bring up another painful topic. It's a prerequisite to God's joy, to entering into His joy. In Psalm 32, David said that when he refused to confess his sin, his body wasted away and he groaned all day long. When he tried to hold on to his sin and hide his sin and cover it up and keep up appearances, he was actually miserable inside. But when he confessed his sin, he received God's pardoning grace and he was glad in the Lord again and he shouted for joy. In Psalm 51, when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and orchestrated the murder of Bathsheba's husband, David sought to conceal his sin. And again, he was miserable. He had performed the deeds, the works of the flesh that he thought were going to bring him happiness, were going to bring him satisfaction. But in fact, he was empty and aching until he confessed his sin to the Lord and experienced the Lord's assurance of forgiveness. And then the Holy Spirit restored David to the joy of the Lord's salvation. It wasn't that David had lost his salvation, but David had lost the joy of his salvation, the joy of reconciliation to God and fellowship with Him. The way for that joy to be restored was for David to come clean with God and receive God's gift of forgiveness. And when he did, that joy was restored. When we seek to harbor and hide sin in our lives, our joy meter goes down. Because why? It's because we are grieving the giver of joy, the Holy Spirit. We must remember that as Christians, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit no longer uniquely resides in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the holiest place. The Holy Spirit now reveals Himself on earth and resides on earth in the hearts of His people. We now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we engage in those things that grieve the Spirit, we cannot expect to be filled with the joy of the Spirit. The counterfeit joys of the works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, drunkenness, And things like these cannot fill the temple of the Holy Spirit. They defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, and thus they grieve the one who lives there. But the good news is that our God is a redeeming God. Again, as we heard from the passage in Jeremiah, the good news is that when we confess our sins and we experience the forgiveness of God through the shed blood of His Son, the Holy Spirit floods our hearts with joy. If we will only fling wide the portals of our hearts to Jesus and His forgiveness, through confessing our sins to Him and remembering that He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, whenever we confess our sins to Him and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as we do that, the Holy Spirit floods our hearts with His joyful presence and assurance of the Father's adopting love. One of the main sins that blocks joy is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. When we hold on to unforgiveness towards someone, we block the joy of forgiveness in our own life. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And He went on to say in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, Jesus was not saying that we are justified or declared righteous in God's sight based on how well we forgive others. That would be works salvation. Instead, I believe what Jesus was saying here is that there is a blockage in our relationship with our Heavenly Father when we refuse to extend forgiveness to others. When we refuse to extend forgiveness to others, there is blockage in our spiritual arteries. Blockage between us and our Heavenly Father. When we hold on to bitterness, grudges, and unforgiveness, we forfeit the joy of God's gracious salvation and fellowship. We don't enjoy God's forgiveness. We don't know the joy of God's forgiveness when we refuse to forgive others. So we must forgive as we've been forgiven. Experiencing the joy of forgiveness comes only when we extend forgiveness to others. So one of the main joy-destroying sins we need to confess to God and ask for victory over is the sin of unforgiveness. That's a tough one. It's a very, very hard one to get victory over. But when we hold a grudge against someone, we are actually the one who's being held captive. When we release that, we give it to God, and we forgive as we've been forgiven, we know the joy of the Lord as our strength once again. Jesus said that there is great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. You see, we tend to think that there is this disjunction. There's this complete separation between what goes on down here and what's going on up there in heaven. Yes, heaven exists. It's real. But there's this really thick ceiling between us and heaven. That's not the picture that the Bible presents. It's There is a complete connection between the heavenly realm and what's going on here on earth. And one reality of that is that when one sinner repents, that means you or me, any sinner, when you repent, there's rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing in heaven, like the kind of rejoicing that the Father in the parable of the prodigal son demonstrated when he threw a party, a celebration, when his son returned home from the far-off country. When we repent, there is joy in heaven. And the Holy Spirit takes the joy of heaven and pours it into our hearts when we confess our sins to God. And that is a joy that cannot be taken away no matter what happens in our life. As Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 puts it, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields produce no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Such joy comes only through confession of sin and assurance of God's pardoning grace. The second way we cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is through joy. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. Prioritizing your life in that way. Jesus, others, yourself. You know, the world says if you want to be happy, if you want to be joyful, then you've got to look out for number one. You've got to focus on yourself. Focus on your wants, your desires, your needs. Serve yourself. Believe in yourself. Love yourself. Look within yourself, and there you will find joy. But God's way is different, isn't it? His recipe for joy is different. He says, focus your life on Jesus and on serving others for his sake, and then you will experience true joy. In John 15, when Jesus was teaching his disciples about abiding in him and bearing fruit in their life, he said in verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. He didn't say, I'm teaching you these things so that you can be morose and have a dour, sour countenance on your face. And then people will know you're really spiritual. No, Jesus said, I'm teaching you these things that my joy may be in you, and that your joy, therefore, may be full. Jesus wants his disciples to be full of his joy, overflowing with his joy in their life. The devil wants you to think that following Jesus will make you miserable. That's been his lie from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. If you want to be truly happy, Adam and Eve, you come over here and do things my way. God is trying to keep you from true happiness, from true joy, from experiencing life to the fullest. No, no, no. That's what the devil says. And he's been tricking people with that lie from generation to generation, hasn't he? As David Guzik put it, one of the greatest marketing strategies ever employed was to present the kingdom of Satan as the place where all the fun is, and the kingdom of God as the place of gloom and misery. But the truth is that the fruit of God's Spirit is joy. A heart that is in love with Jesus is full of the joy of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit delights to do. He delights to take the things of Christ and show them to us, make them our experience. And so the heart that is focused on Jesus is full of the joy of Christ's Spirit. True joy comes from giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It comes from worshiping Jesus, who floods our hearts with the joy of His Spirit when we do. As Walter Knight put it, joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that King Jesus is in residence today. Joy is the flag that flies over the castle of our hearts, announcing that the King is in His residence today. This love for Jesus is expressed through love for others, which also cultivates joy in our lives. Look back up at some of those works of the flesh, which Paul described in verses 20 and 21. Things like enmity, strife, jealousy. Those things are opposed to the Spirit, and thus they will not produce joy in your life, or, by the way, anyone else's life who may be in your life. Hatred does not produce joy. Love and forgiveness do. Strife does not produce joy. Being a peacemaker does. Jealousy does not produce joy. Being happy for others does. Anger does not produce joy. A soft word does. Rivalries do not produce joy. Teamwork does. Dissensions do not produce joy. Harmony does. Divisions do not produce joy. Unity does. Envy does not produce joy. Celebrating other people's blessings does. When you place yourself before others, true joy is lost. When you place Jesus and others before self, the joy of the Spirit is cultivated and renewed in your life. And the third way to cultivate real joy is through gratitude. It's through gratitude. We might even call joy grateful delight in God Himself. That's how important gratitude is relative to joy. Joy is grateful delight in God Himself. Grateful people are joyful people. Ungrateful people are joyless people. It's that simple. We see this in our own life. There have been many, many, many studies done on this showing this, and you can just observe it, right? Grateful people are joyful people. Ungrateful people simply are not. As Nancy Lee DeMoss put it, thankful people are refreshing, life-giving springs, while unthankful people pull others down with them into the stagnant pools of their selfish, demanding, unhappy ways. Author Tommy Newberry points out that ungrateful people suffer from CDS, or continuous deficiency syndrome. They are always aware that they could have more. Things could be better, and life just seems unfair. Ingratitude leaves them in a state of deprivation in which they are constantly wanting something else. But the good news is that as Christians, we do not need to fall into that syndrome. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can choose gratitude. Like love, joy and gratitude are choices that we make. They are choices empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit, but they are choices that we must make every day. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can count, enjoy, and give thanks for every blessing in our lives. Food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear. Have you seen the video of the two-year-old little boy opening a Christmas present? And he opens it up and it's a banana. And I don't know if his parents were just, you know, trying to play a little trick on him or what. But it's this banana, and it's kind of a bruised one, actually. And he is elated. Absolutely elated. And he just says, I got a banana. I got a banana. And then I don't know if they were at a friend's house or what, but then he says, one of his parents says, "What are you saying?" He says, "Thank you. I got a banana." And I thought, what a picture. What a picture of the joy that gratitude produces in our lives. It's like C.H. Spurgeon said, it is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. The Holy Spirit can give the believer that kind of joy-producing gratitude. It's a gratitude ultimately rooted in the truth of the gospel. Don't miss that. It's a gratitude ultimately rooted in the truth of the gospel. The truth about our sin and God's grace. Because of our sin, we deserve hell. Plain and simple. And the fact that we are not in hell right this very moment is sheer mercy. It is completely undeserved. And the gospel teaches us that instead of sending us to hell, God gave his son who went through hell for us. On the cross, he who deserved only the blessings of heaven took to himself the curses of hell that we deserve. When we believe in Jesus, therefore, we escape the eternal judgment that rightly belongs to us. And so, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you've never confessed your sins to Him and placed your faith in Him, may today be the day of salvation for you, the day of joy and triumph. I remember growing up, so I see so many children and teenagers. I remember growing up listening to the one who for me was the Apostle Paul Simon, the musician. I used to just listen to his music all the time. I was just a Paul Simon junkie. And in one of his songs, he says, "I'm empty and aching and I don't know why." And I felt that angst. I'm empty and aching and I don't know why. I felt that as a teenager. A few years later, I learned why. Jesus was not in my life. And some of you may be empty and aching and you don't know why this morning. Have you confessed to Jesus that you're a sinner? And that you need his pardoning grace? Have you received him as your Savior? Lord, his is the joy that will fill your soul. His is the joy that transforms our lives. The Christian should always live with this mindset. I know what I deserve. That's why I just laugh with delight anytime I hear someone call into Dave Ramsey's radio show and say, "Dave, how you doing?" And he always says, "Better than I deserve." That's what you call a gospel mindset. Better than I deserve. The Christian lives with that mindset. I know what I deserve, and I know what I have received, and because of that, I am a very, very thankful person. And the more we express gratitude to God and others, the more we say thank you. It's not hard. It's two syllables. You can even shorten it to one and just say thanks. But the more we say thank you, just say thank you. To those that God has put in your life, and to God Himself, the more you do that, the joy of the Lord will increase in your life. It will. By letting the Spirit of joy have His way in our life, we are able to show others a joy that the world cannot offer them. The undeserved, unmerited, unending joy of our triune God. May we yield to the Spirit that He might display the joy of the Lord in and through our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.